morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Thursday, the 6th of August 2020. My name's Nick Hurley here in Melbourne. Well, yesterday we had the Virgin Australia Airlines management team outline their vision under their new owners. It's largely the same management team that took the company into administration, and largely most of what they announced is a continuation of the same. The most profound thing was the announcement that they're laying off 3,000 of their 9,000 headcount. But in terms of what they're delivering, there's nothing hugely surprising. Tiger Air is still sort of shelved, which was announced before administration anyway. There is a little mention of maybe some of the lounges changing, but certainly the sort of the key capital airports will not lose their Virgin lounges. The CEO has even mentioned that the exclusive, the club, which is similar to the chairman's lounge that Qantas operates to schmooze politicians and people of influence, will still be operating. So there's nothing hugely different. The airline, obviously, its biggest cost prior to this was its debt load. It's got rid of that. So why sort of really devalue the service offering when the biggest sort of cost is removed? They're also getting rid of a lot of their sort of smaller fleet count aircraft. So the main domestic operations will be entirely on 737s, of which they have a fairly new fleet of those. Planes such as the 777 that they had on really onerous lease terms will be gone. Some analysts have mentioned that 777, even at a full sort of loading, could never make money based on the lease arrangements that were entered into for that plane. So it all sounds quite positive. The Velocity Frequent Flyer Scheme has 10 million members, so why sort of strip away the features of that scheme, such as lounges, when the big expenses seem to be dealt with? It did seem to really appeal to the employees of the airline. They all expected, you know, large headcount cuts, but a lot of jobs, such as the lounge jobs, business class, flight attendants, all that will still be there. So they have to vote. They're all creditors. They make up the largest creditor block by sort of head count. So having them as happy as possible will be key in having Bain Capital sort of win over at the creditors meeting. Okay, moving to Australia's sixth largest export, that is gold. And if you're watching through our video mediums, you'll see that the gold price is now over $2,040 an ounce. That is a new record, and well, certainly in recent decades, a new record. And it's not looking like it's stopping there. Goldman Sachs has sort of put a justification around why are people buying gold now, and they say that typically, you know, gold offers no yield, no return, but these days cash rates are near zero, bond yields are near zero, so you know the choice set has changed. So gold now occurs as somewhat more appealing, and certainly when you know you're looking at currency potential devaluations with high inflation into the future, gold can be a safe place to hold it. Now we're seeing in Australia there's a lot of gold speculation companies talking about floats on the Australian market, and you know the gold miners are doing exceptionally well. Certainly if you were to hold a sort of an unhedged gold position in Australian dollars, you wouldn't have made anywhere near as big a return as if you were sort of based in US dollars, just because the US dollars weakened so much, hence the gold sort of rise being exacerbated by that. But it's certainly a good thing to be interested in the gold mining companies in Australia, where their price sort of goes up a lot quicker than the gold price in Australian dollars, certainly in recent times. Moving to our biggest export now, that is iron ore. It's hit another 12-month high. It's now at about US$118 a ton, which is the highest since July last year. The Chinese steel mills are still buying lots and lots and lots of the stuff. There is talk that some of the sort of the stockpiles in the Chinese ports is starting to build, so that could be a slightly negative omen for the price going forward. But basically, what's driving it? It's infrastructure investment in China. The Chinese government's lifted the budget for infrastructure projects by around 74% this year, and property construction has also been supported by lower mortgage rates. That was an analyst at Commonwealth Bank said that. Now, whilst everything looks rosy on the natural resources front, here in Victoria, we are seeing obviously the business elements of the stage four lockdown coming into force from today, with the sort of full implementation due by tomorrow evening. Now, S&P Ratings have put our AAA state credit rating, long-term rating, on negative watch. However, they're not going to make a decision for a few months, and dare I say that's probably the only sensible thing when there is so much that's unknown about the impact of this. And businesses still seem to not really even know who's classed as an essential worker, even now when the restrictions are sort of coming into force. Moving to Australian property now. Now, if you've ever looked at property in Sydney, you would know that it's extremely expensive, particularly in the inner areas. And comparing the skylines of, say, the eastern suburbs of Sydney to the inner suburbs of Melbourne, these skylines are dramatically different these days. Melbourne is full of 50-plus storey high-rise apartment buildings, whereas in much of the inner suburbs, such as Surry Hills and Darlinghurst in Sydney, they're still lined with, one to two-storey terrace houses. Now, the RBA has come out with some interesting analysis on the impacts of that on property prices. And they've said that the sort of planning restrictions, the height restrictions in Sydney, add 68% to the cost of apartments in Sydney, and only 20% to the cost in Melbourne and 2% in Brisbane. So they say that a great way to increase supply and lower housing costs in Sydney is to loosen some of these draconian, not in my backyard, planning restrictions. So they've quantified the impact, and they say in Sydney it adds about $355,000 to the cost of an apartment, and that's on top of the $500,000 in construction costs. In Melbourne, that impacts only about $97,000 with construction costs less as well of $491,000, and it's only about 10 grand impact in Brisbane. Moving to the markets now, the US has opened up about 40 minutes into trade. The S&P is up about 46 basis points. Gold's up, as I've mentioned. The Australian dollar is up a lot again. Partly, they're obviously correlated, the lifting price in gold in US dollar terms and the stronger Australian dollar. So there's some positive impacts on markets due to more progress on vaccines. Novavax have come out with some positive results of their vaccine, and there's also some positive news flow on the antibody therapies, driving sort of, positive sentiment in markets. And that is your early finance briefing for Thursday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.